back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Wayback Playback, episode number 356. As this week we bring you the conclusion of WCW Great American Bash 1995. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. Normally, I'm joined by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, Jim Valley. However, Jim is undergoing dialysis today, and he is facing a kidney transplant down the line. We certainly are keeping Jim in our prayers this weekend as we enjoy the holiday weekend. Filling in for Jim this week is my good friend Shane Shadows, who, in addition to teaming up with me in an independent wrestling promotion, he does the Independent Rewind over on YouTube. Shane, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to 1995, and relive the greatest Father's Day since Maury Povich told you you're not the father?
I've already been here for an hour, my friend, and getting warmed up and ready for the Wayback Playback, brother. Let's kick in.
All right, let's do that. I want to thank everybody who has managed to keep us on the podcasting charts and the wrestling podcast charts over on Apple and Spotify and on Chartable. We're still, not a great week, but we still managed to get on the charts in the U.S., Canada, Great Britain, and Australia and Ireland, and a little bit in France, Brazil, and India. But there's dozens of more countries still to go. So keep spreading the word about this show, and if you like it, tell somebody. And of course, patreon.com/waybackplayback is how you access all of the archives of Wayback Playback and how you get to all the bonus materials. And we do have some fine bonus materials. In fact, we started a bonus episode of Primetime from 1986, in which I slander the not so good name of Steve Gatorwolf for about 20 minutes there, so be sure to check that out if you're joining up on the Patreon. Okay, so this is the part, Shane, where we normally go over the reviews of the show, and the Wrestling Observer Observer readers gave it 43% thumbs up, 40% thumbs in the middle, 17% thumbs down, which for 1995, especially in WCW, given how much we were paying for pay-per-views, that's a good rating.
Yes, they were starting to get it. They were starting to get things figured out. The formula that they were going with was starting to click. It hadn't really kicked in yet, but it was starting to get there.
Yes, it would take. I think it would take another year really for them to hit their stride. Once they did,
about that. Yeah, I'd say absolutely.
Okay, Dave Meltzer writes, while not a great show or even a good one by old standards, it did have two very good matches amidst the normal confusion associated with WCW. And then Dave went on to give Savage and Flair 4 stars. And Renegade and Arn Anderson was rated the worst match at -1/4 star. Over in the Pro Wrestling Torch, Wade Keller writes that Sunday night in Dayton, Ohio, WCW began and ended strong but came up short in between. The main event of the evening between Ric Flair and Randy Savage exceeded expectations. Wade gave the main event 4 4.25 stars, also gave Pillman and Alex Wright 4 1/4 stars. Getting 1 star each at the bottom of the as the least favorite matches, Renegade versus Arn Anderson and Hacksaw Jim Duggan versus Craig the Pitbull Pittman.
I can see that.
Yeah. Not great.
I can see that.
Torch senior columnist Bruce Mitchell writes, Savage and Flair both worked hard and had a great match. I doubt whether this finish is enough to instantly make Flair a credible performer again, though. One thing, only the brain trust at WCW would run an angle on a preview encouraging viewers to skip a show and buy the next one instead. Speaking of Father's Day, I'll bet Hogan's dad can hit harder than those taps Hogan laid on Vader. Shane, really, I'll bet the Miz's dad can lay him in harder than Hogan laid him in on Vader.
Yeah.
But,
I remember that.
I don't really, it's hard to blame Hogan for pulling his punches against Vader, But
he should have went the other direction.
Yeah, he should have. Actually, Vader would, that would have worked better. That would have worked out better for him getting along with Vader.
That would have made the matches better.
Yes, it would have.
Yeah, the few they did together. Yeah. And I remember that was like a big political thing back then. It was just, doing the job and this and that. It's just like the height of all childishness in the wrestling business, to be honest with you. But
It was pretty bad.
That was a lot of what went on in WCW. And as much as I enjoyed WCW historically, I like the way they set up, the way they look. They tape the shows, and they had a lot of good athletic talent, but historically they did more damage to their own business than good.
Right. Yeah, they were their own, they were their own worst enemy, and not that we.
They had several good years, and but should have had more, but they couldn't keep organized and couldn't deal with all the crap.
That's true. Chris Zavisa, in the columnist of The Torch, wrote, the whole purpose of the main event pregame show was to con the less knowledgeable that they just might see Hogan versus Vader as a bonus. After all, they did run two very similar angles on the show, and one ended up in a definite last-minute addition, while the other ended with Vader on bended knee begging for the match. Does anyone in the greater Turner organization really believe you can build for the future on the lives of today? And while I understand Chris's point, I don't think any of the real higher-ups in the Turner organization were paying any attention whatsoever to what was going on this show, or, you know.
Not to mention, it's the pro wrestling business. It's all built on a lie.
Well,
okay?
Yes.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, but, you
it's
know,
all built on a lie.
And we've discussed this in the past. You kind of want to, I understand that, but you kind of want to pick and choose where you're, you know, where you're going to use up your lies, you know?
Yeah, you got to pick your spots.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, they're going for a buy rate. And if they're going to be paying Hogan, and they had to pay Hogan to show up, they had to pay him pay-per-view money.
That's the thing. No, they didn't. He showed up on main event. He did not appear on the pay-per-view itself.
Yeah, you are right about that. But I would have thought, and I thought that part of the story was that Hogan got his money regardless just for being there.
No, he would get money, but he doesn't get he got money for being there, yes, but he did not get a share of he did not get the $300,000 he automatically got for appearing on a pay-per-view. It's either $300,000 or a percentage of the gate, whichever was more.
Okay.
The percentage of the buy rate, excuse me, whichever was more.
Yeah.
So that's different from So
I guess in a situation like this, to me, I'm not as bent out of shape about it. I mean, but of course, you know, even at that point, I had already kind of seen a good bit and understood how the teases worked and the angles worked as far as that goes. It didn't bother me because I was paying for it anyway.
Right.
You know, I'm
going
to watch it regardless. So, I mean, not that I care, but I mean, I understand, you know,
the
moral compass of pro wrestling, you know, which is what sometimes I felt like Chris DeVista tried to make himself in his column.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's not knocking the guy. I thought he had some pretty good points, but
he did.
Unfortunately, a lot of these sheet writers, they start taking themselves too serious.
Yeah, we're the worst.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are the worst. Damn it, we got to get that match in the ring.
Yeah.
Okay.
We are. We're a pain in the ass.
But anyhow.
Yep. All right. Okay, normally this is the part of the program where we talk about our Patreon. It's at patreon.com/waybackplayback for those of you looking to support the show, or maybe to get the entire archive of the show, all 356 episodes, or those of you looking to get our bonus material, which we try to put up now once every week or two. But Shane, obviously we're going to talk about our friend Jim Valley. Jim is in need of a kidney transplant, and he has begun dialysis. So the figure four people set up a GoFundMe for Jim over gofundme.com/f/Jim-Valley-Tunzer. As of last, it raised up to $70,000 because, you know, kidney transplants aren't cheap. Neither were 3 months in intensive care that Jim had to go through last year. Now $650 and raised. Go to gofundme.com/f/Jim-Valley-fundraiser, or just go into Google and search for, go into GoFundMe and search for Jim Valley, and you'll find it. Please, let's all help out Jim and Carrie.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Everyone step up here. Brother needs a hand, and he's had a rough go of it here in the last year or so. Everyone who can help him, please give generously.
This does not mean you can still go and be on our Patreon at patreon.com/waybackplayback. Yeah, Jim gets his half of the proceeds too from that. And it's got all of our shows, all 356 of them, and Jim has done a lot of bonus material with us for that. But no matter how you do it, just do it for Jim, folks. That's all we're asking here. on this 4th of July weekend. You know, we've, you know, no matter what's happened this past year, I can look at it and say, you know, I've got my health. I'm not hospitalized, and I'm not even a nice person like Jim is. So, you know, please, please, everybody, give generously, and thank you very much from all of us for doing that. So anyway, now that we've hit that, let's go ahead. Let's get back to the show. We ended up after the tag team title match, and we're about to get the video package. Reminding everybody what happened in the United States heavyweight title tournament. I am at 1 hour, 44 minutes, and well, now I'm at 1 hour, 44 minutes, and 50 seconds. Is that where you are?
I'm at 1:44:49. We're close enough.
Okay. All right, so everybody, we're going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. All right, there's the entire tournament bracket laid out before you, folks. There you go. So here we go. Let's look at the first round of this tournament. Yeah, well, how did we get
talent
to Sting and Ming? There's Brian Pillman and Bunkhouse Buck. Oh, by the way, swift exit by Gary Michael Capetta.
And a three-quarter Nelson by Pillman.
Love
probably
it.
One of the few times, other than Barry Horowitz, that match finish was ever used on a pro match.
Yep.
Arn doing the submission. Hacksaw, Duggan, and Stone Cold. Oh,
and Austin
Colonel
gets
Parker
the win.
With
yeah.
the assist.
Oh, and Bagwell loses to Ming. Oh, by the way, those center stage crowds, and like I mean, you know, as much as people knock center stage, those crowds were awesome in terms of crowd noise and enthusiasm.
Absolutely. I also heard it referred to as the best babysitting in downtown Atlanta.
Yeah.
Randy Savage had taken one on the Butcher.
Okay. Oh, Alex Wright and Big Bubba. Oh, Bubba
Ouch.
Gets thrown over out over the top rope, I guess. And that's, I guess that's a DQ.
Oh, Arn Anderson drops the Patriot.
Oh,
God bless
and then,
you, Dillwood.
Yeah, rest in peace, Dill.
Rest in peace, my brother.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Then we go to the second round, and it's Sting and Orndorff. And Sting locks
yeah.
it in. Yeah, well.
All these upper card heels doing submission jobs. I'm an old timer. I don't care for it. But
well, he's got to deal with
Brian's winning streak.
Sorry, Flying Brian. All right, Austin and Savage.
And probably their only ever meeting.
Probably. All right, Savage beats Stone Cold. Alex Wright and Ric Flair.
Yep. Do you realize that Doc's Wonder Kid is probably like 45 years old now?
Yep, I believe so. Yeah, and Flair wins by a DQ. So we Savage and Flair in the semifinals. And we get a double count out, I believe, is what they end up with. No match.
Where's Flair? Yeah.
I'm going to get you, Ric Flair. Yeah. I'll get you.
I'm gonna tear it up, you freak out, freak out.
There we go. All right, so now we're back to Sting and Ming. You'll notice that Ming is wearing my grandmother's drapes from her living room in 1965. That's very nice.
Absolutely.
Okay, now this is what he's wearing. That's much better outfit, Ming. Yeah. All right. And Colonel Parker looks like he's going to join our old stable, Los Cowboys. That's cool.
Yeah, Los Cowboys. You know what's funny is we're returning to the scene of the crime of Lost Cowboys. I think it's almost 20 years to the date.
Oh my goodness!
August 4th,
it's over 20 years. Yeah.
We are
yeah.
going to be yeah. Well, 21, 22 years. August 4th, Wednesday night at the yeah. Tri-County Fair in Petersburg, West Virginia, buddy.
Where my poor self, Spike Callahan, got roped into us being part of a 6-man tag and. Yep.
Yes, and you also got sprawled out on the floor by Jimmy Valiant, and something that can be found on my show on the Independent Rewind.
There you go.
If
you want to watch me get laid out by Jimmy Valiant. That's right.
Yes.
All right, the Colonel.
Colonel
Tennessee
Turner,
Stud.
What a talent.
Robert Fuller.
What a talent.
Yep.
One of the great wrestling families ever. Kids, All if right. you don't know who they are, look them up.
That's what YouTube is for.
Welsh family.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Hey.
Yep. I remember Mick Foley talked a lot about him in his autobiography. Love you.
Probably yes. For a lot of very
for different reasons. Yeah.
Yes. So we've heard about the stud.
The big man, the Tennessee stud, Colonel Rob Parker.
The big man, yeah.
Okay. I mean,
he's ready.
I mean, given what a huge guy, you know, Robert Parker, I mean, you know, Robert Fuller, Robert Welch is, he's putting over Ming, who is technically smaller than he is as a killer. And let's
that
be honest,
is.
Which he is, yeah, he certainly could be.
Not a stretch.
Nope.
Yeah, physically, Parker was just so big, and that's why, yeah. I mean, sometimes that can work against being a manager when you're that
yes,
physically big.
Yes, it is.
He was a good six. He's probably a good 6'4", right. Minimum.
Okay. Bobby Heenan wearing his Willie Geist outfit. That's certainly something.
Yeah, it's so nice after seeing those pictures of Heenan the last couple of years he was alive,
yeah.
Just to see
him. Yeah. Yeah, see him, yeah.
You know,
right
now going back in the way back and right. Looking as we remember him.
And happy 4th of July. Thank you for your service to the pro wrestling industry, Shane.
Thank you. And you as well.
Well, thank you. Yeah, your son, Simon Shadows, is apparently going to be in a big tournament.
Oh, yeah. He's heading over to Dyersburg, which ironically was the listed hometown of Robert and Ron Fuller for years, Dyersburg, Tennessee, doing this I think it's called the Liberty Cup tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very proud of the kid. He's doing his own thing. He's not a child anymore. He's almost
nope.
Jesus. He's almost 30.
Jeez.
So he's in that nut.
I'm old. I get it. All right. Hogan's going to be at Bash of the Beach, though, folks. Don't worry.
Yeah.
He's not at the Great American
great
Bash, but he's going to be at Bash of the Beach.
100,000 people. I remember them trying to shoot from above and trying to claim 100,000 people were on hand. More like 5.
Yeah. I mean, if you go all the way down the beach, maybe sure, you know, but
sure. Yeah. And counting people in hotel lobbies and everything else,
right,
you can probably get it close to that. Ah,
yeah.
Damn it! I'm hitting a commercial here.
You got the peacock with the commercials. All right, I'm sorry. Let me hit pause. Okay, everybody hit pause here. Shane will get caught up.
All right. Let me just.
I'm at 151.07, and Gene is talking to Stinger. Oh, Stinger. Yes. Yep. Okay, everybody, you know, the ad-free version of Peacock Kids, it costs the same amount as the network used to. It's just.
Hell. It's only 15 seconds, though. I can't fast forward to them.
Okay.
I just tried.
I'm sorry.
I apologize, everybody.
Hey, that's, yeah. Everybody loves Peacock. That's the moral of this story.
Yeah.
Let me know when the commercial's over, and we'll just cue it back.
Oh, there he is. We're back at it.
We're back.
And Oakland's got Stinger here. Yeah. Stinger's ready.
Yeah.
I like this version of Sting better than the Crow.
Oh, yeah. He's tan. You know, he's
blonde.
Been, he's been in the gym. Yeah.
He's a man called Sting.
He's a man called Sting. He does this. He does that. He's big and he's bold and he's quick as a cat.
I didn't know quite serve all the words to memory quite like you did, apparently. But,
no.
I remember it.
Yes.
This stuff up here is cool.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. Sting's ready. Okay.
You know what to expect.
David Penzer is in the ring. We get graphics and firework noises and everything.
Okerlund's pitching it to the ring.
Okay.
You're
a little bit behind, but that's okay. All right.
It's okay. There's
303 pounds is Ming. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It looks like they did a good job of blocking off, you know, or lighting the arena.
They had it set up for 6,000 or thereabouts.
What did it draw? Did you say
6,000? I think they drew like a little over 6,000, and 5,200 of it was paid. So for that
period of time, I was pretty good because believe it or not, we were conditioned to believe that you didn't have to pay to see WCW.
you all for, well, depending on, sometimes you didn't.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We've got, all right. The Stinger, Stinger music is playing, and we have a man called Sting.
Here it is.
You need me to, yeah, okay.
Man called Sting.
If you need me to pause and see catch up, that's fine, but yeah.
Yeah, we're okay. Sting's on his way to the ring.
Yes, he is. He's a man called Sting.
Yeah, Rick Reed was gone by this point, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, yeah, Rick Reed was done. Yeah,
he had gone from previous year, yeah.
Career-ending injury. Yeah, that was like the previous from the previous year.
Him and Sting had good matches together.
They did. They had a lot of chemistry together. And there's the winner of the contest, the winner of the Father's Day Look Like Your Favorite Wrestler contest. The guy who dressed as Big Bubba won it.
Johnny, the guy dressed as Big Bubba.
I'm not kidding. That was the contest winner.
There he is. I see him. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
not kidding. Yep. Proud of him. He won the all expense paid trip to Dayton. You know. They spared no expense on these contests. All right, here we go. Sting and Ming.
I never had that Sting hat, but I had the WCW hat. I wish I still knew where that was.
Yeah.
They could probably.
I mean, if that's one of those things that they should be selling on the WWE shop, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's like they've really had a hard time, or seem like were always very hesitant about trying to put out WCW merchandise and gear after they bought the thing.
That and
it's been
20
years.
And some ECW shirts. You can probably sell a few of those.
Yeah. Yeah. My dear friend Doug Rafferty, my senior official, just went to Buffalo, New York, and stopped at Dick Byers' place, the Destroyer Golf. Park Golf, and picked me up a Destroyer shirt.
All right.
So,
good job, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Oh, Ming with a cheap shot. Oh, you hate to see it. Oh, jeez. Oh, Ming is working over Sting. Oh no.
See, I'm behind you. I'm sorry. Face here. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there was that wicked karate shot.
Yeah.
Working the body.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. I mean, I won't say they had something with Ming, you know, but they, this is one of the times where they made Ming look as strong, almost as strong as he is in real life. Yeah.
When you have to reinvent talent, it's very difficult. Mm-hmm. And this isn't a guy who was an unknown. He was on national TV for years and years, and this was right around the first era where we started to see guys have their names changed and stuff when they were working for the other companies.
Right.
And, you know, guys no longer had their own identities so much. And, you know, of course, you know, this is a rare guy here who his second identity became his better known name.
Yeah, Haku.
You almost nobody calls him Haku. Everyone calls him Ming. But he was Haku first.
Well, I mean, the Samoans call him Tonga. You know, so.
Yeah, he was Tonga John when he was young and King Tonga, and then he became Haku when he was an Islander with Tama as his partner.
Right.
Oh, nice attempt at a dropkick there. Didn't really quite work out.
No. Well, it's a fight. Not everything hits, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I think there's something to be said for that. I mean, everything shouldn't. I mean, yeah. I think in this era now, wherever when something doesn't go perfectly like it was planned, we like to chant and call botches and stuff. But I think there's something to be said for not everything always being perfect.
I'll take a botch over something gets screwed up and the two people have to go back and feel like they have to repeat the spot. You know.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Ming crawling back into the ring now.
There you go. Yep. Oh, Ming.
Okay. We're gonna do a little test of strength here.
Mm.
No.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah, I kind of get the sense that Sting is a little nervous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I were in there with him, I'd be a little nervous. Yeah. This isn't a guy I want to get. This is not a guy I want legitimately upset at me.
No. But, you know, by the time you're a pro and you've been at this level and Sting's been at the top level at this point as a pro for 7-8 years, you shouldn't have that kind of trepidation.
No.
You know.
There we go. No.
He is wicked.
Ooh.
Did you ever hear the story about Tonga being the referee during the Harley Race versus Lawman Don Flatten NWA title match in Amarillo? Up and over.
Oh, yep. Well,
little Sting held on.
All right. Yep, Sting's putting some work in tonight.
Yes, I guess when he was young, I guess once he came out of, like, I think he did sumo for a while, didn't he? And I think he came out of Japan, out of the dojos in Japan, and he hooked up with the Funks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the ways, you know, when he was a very young guy, he did a lot of refereeing.
Yeah.
Which is really the best way to learn, if you want to really learn how it works.
Right, I mean, that's...
That's a hell of a way to learn because you're right there. You're hearing guys, you know, at least back in the old days, it was like that. Sting really not looking good thus far. Ming really taking the measure of him.
Oh, yeah.
So he had to go to the locker room and retrieve the NWA belt from Lawman Don Slanton, who was an West Texas favorite.
Mm-hmm.
When he challenged Harley Race and they did some kind of sit down power bomb.
Yeah, you're a little bit behind me, but yeah.
Okay.
Ming's Ming's working hard here.
Yeah. They did one of those matches where you touch the four corners and then Don Flatten took Harley's belt and claimed in the ring. And then Harley apparently Ming had to go back to the dressing room to try to retrieve Flatten or game to return to the ring. And then Harley Race went back there and and drug Don Flatten back into the ring and beat the piss out of him.
Yep.
Pinned him and took the belt back.
There you go. Problem solved.
One of the great wrestling stories I'd ever heard. And Tonga was part of that. Can you only imagine?
Oh, the good old days. Yeah.
The good old days.
I know.
You couldn't pay me to take one of their belts now.
No.
But Don Flatten, the master of the brass knucks match, tries to double cross Harley Race.
Yeah.
In Lubbock, Texas.
That's a great plan.
I love it.
Oh, my goodness.
Shit can time. They're hitting the floor. Oh,
yep.
Landed on his feet again. Parker's going to take a liberty here.
Right.
He knows. Three of them. Right. Oh, and a bolo punch.
Well, yep. See, it's basically it's a handicap match here. Poor Stinger.
It's out of control here.
Yep. You like seeing all the WCW super fans there in the front row?
Oh yes, absolutely.
Yep.
Wearing all the merchandise that they could give away.
Yep. Oh, there you go. But like you watch these WCW pay-per-views and like, hey, it's those same guys.
Yes.
Yeah. Same guys from Baltimore. Yeah. Same guys from Baltimore. Same guys from Atlanta. You know.
Big comeback.
Oh, there you go.
Sunset flip. Ming's holding on for dear life. Going to go for a chop. Oh, he caught him.
Oh,
and I... that
you hate to see that. You hate to see that.
Your referee's Nick Patrick.
Yes.
Do you notice pretty much all their referees at that point had the semi-mullet and the mustache? It's almost like it was a porno
cap. It's a uniform.
Call.
Yeah, it's their uniform.
Oh, working that trapezius muscle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're on our way. This has been an appropriately paced match.
Yeah, I have no objections with that. Yeah, Sting's got.
I remember back thinking that there's no way Ming's gonna win this.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
You know.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of credibility; it's a matter of booking.
And right.
It's just, you know, certain guys get over to a certain level, and like you say, this is probably as good of a job as. as they had done to build him up as the monster that, you know, that people in the wrestling business knew that he was, but
the,
to the fans, perception is everything.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do something. We're going to whip him in here. We're going to do something.
But,
oh. Well, that's it.
Okay. All right. Oh, here we go.
It was like turning a tank, wasn't it?
Yep.
Oh, my Lord.
You got him.
Going to push off the turnbuckles here. What are we doing?
Well, it didn't work.
Oh, okay. So that was interesting and different.
Yeah, it was. Yes, it was. Oh.
But you can tell me, look, the crowd's not as jaded.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of it. It's like
the crowd's not buying it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think it's not that they're not buying it. I mean, they're not as into it as, you know, I would just say this match is disjointed, but the crowd's not on it like they would today.
No.
Today, the crowd would be, a lot of these crowds would be taking a dump on this match. And it,
yes, they would.
I mean, it's not terrible. It's right. not good. Per se, I don't think that these two matched up well.
It's a bit of a styles clash, but you know, it shouldn't be. You're not going in here expecting like a 4.5 star classic.
Correct. I think that at this point in time, these are two guys who were probably. That was nice. I like that.
Yep.
These guys were probably I don't know how to explain this, so I'm just going to skip the point that I think these two are guys who are better having a match called to them.
Yeah. Okay.
And sometimes you get into these situations where you have matches with guys who are good if someone leading them, but two followers in a match, and that's no discredit to
right.
to Haku or Ming,
I mean,
or Sting,
there's,
either.
There's
one.
No reason why either of these guys shouldn't have been able to lead a match. But,
well,
you know,
I mean, it's not as easy as all that.
Yeah.
You know, I think that the stuff that they're good with, in this match, and the stuff that they're off time with is
they're checking on.
Off.
Okay. You're a little behind me, but they're checking on Ming legitimately. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not getting up real quick. So they smack his head.
That's okay. There we go. He gets back up. Don't worry. They're going to get to the finish. They're going to get to where they wanted to be.
We got to do a little bit of something here.
Yep.
He's okay. He's okay.
Yeah, he's
yeah.
okay.
Oh, yep. Hit the post.
Yep.
Hitting the post.
All right. All right, but
just a lot going on here.
Right. A lot of moving parts, as we say.
Yes.
Oh, here we go.
Moving parts.
He's gonna get it turned. Is he gonna get it turned? Oh my God.
Oh, here's the drama. Yeah, again, I'm 3-4 seconds behind you. Can he get him over?
Yeah.
Can he get him?
And once he gets him over, oh, hold on. Can Sting hold it?
Can he hold it? I love the jacket, the super fan jacket down there.
Yeah.
An absolute must.
Yes.
I'm not so sure Bobby Starr doesn't have that jacket.
Yeah. That's probably true. Oh, my goodness.
It probably is true. chop block.
Up Sting. You know, Sting trying something different.
Cross body tap.
Clothesline.
Oh, clothesline.
Oh, all right. No, can't. Still can't finish off the Mingster. I like that Sting's trying different things.
It's good that every match isn't a pattern.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And Sting gets up. A leaping DDT.
I think that, yeah, there you go. I think that lends itself to the idea that back then we were they were still trying to purport the matches as being real. And Stinger. Right.
The Stinger
the Duke here and,
has your U.S. title. Man called Sting.
Man,
he's a man called Sting. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
Colonel
he is,
Parker.
In fact.
Colonel Parker is just beside himself. I like the guy
not
with the plain white. I like the guy with the plain white V-neck T-shirt. It's like, yeah, yeah. Like dress up? Nah, we're going to wrestling.
Nah, going to the wrestling. Going to wrestling.
Yeah.
Not great, not bad.
Right. Perfectly good. Accomplished what needed to be accomplished.
Perfectly acceptable.
Yes.
Perfectly acceptable.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Second from the top.
Yep. All right. Oh, and by the way, congratulations again to Billy Ray Helms of Norcross, Georgia, who won the trip to Dayton, Ohio.
There he is.
Somehow beating out the other 300 guys who in the crowd who look like the big Bill Rogers. And...
dead ringer.
Yeah, okay, that I'm going to have to bleep. Yeah, that one.
I'm sorry.
That's it.
Dead ringer.
Yep,
sorry,
dead ringer.
PG.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Sting's your U.S. champion, kids. All right. Oh, now let's get to, now let's I'll pause it for just a minute so we can get to the yeah, okay. Get well, let me know when you're getting started. I'm stopping it at 209:50 and now I'm going to hit play again in 3, 2, 1 so we can all join together on this video package of the Macho Man and Flair.
Okay. I got a 41-second commercial.
Oh, well, hell. All right, let me just pause this here again. 2 hours, 10 minutes, and 4 seconds. How's that? We're just going to pause it and wait for kids, Peacock has an ad-free option. I'm just going to let everybody know.
Yeah. Kids, get your parents' permission before calling.
Yes, please do.
That'd be a hotbot. I haven't seen plugs for that yet.
Oh, well, you can see them on YouTube. You don't need this.
Yeah, I love that. They had such a better hotline than WWE.
Well, they did.
WWE, yeah. They never really took off for them.
They never tapped the potential of the hotline. No. I mean,
okay,
Jim Ross.
Where are we at? Where are we...
I'm at 210.04 and just waiting. 210.05. Okay. Yeah, I've got the shot of Flair. All right. Do you have Ric Flair?
210.06.
Okay, 1, 3, 2, 1, play. Let's go. All right, here we go. Yes. It's the most anticipated grudge match in WCW in many years. My ass.
Absolutely.
No, I'm sorry.
Aren't they always?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Savage and Avalanche. Oh, my goodness.
Wow. He's not a fish.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is that Henry Godwin sitting behind Flair?
Could be.
How about this picture? Hogan, Savage, and Nick Bockwinkel.
That's right. Oh, look, and Ric Flair borrowing some of Sherry's old clothes. And he didn't even ask because of Sherry. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a nature boy.
I said this part I don't remember.
Savage and
Jimmy
Hogan.
Hart.
Savage and Hogan get Flair reinstated. So that we can have the big tag match at Slamboree.
Big tag match at Slamboree. Yes, I remember this. I like this. I like this angle. Yeah. I like this. Good old Angelo was on hand getting his WCW Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I'd like to take a tour of that facility.
Yeah, WCW Hall of Fame. That was
Angelo.
That was in a trailer back over in Smyrna.
Yeah. Oh, he's fucking putting the punches Angela. On him.
Yep, there we go. Bleep that too. All right.
Angela's
gonna take it. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I like
boom.
This. The miser.
Work
Angela
him over.
Papa, the miser.
Work him over.
stomping the knee. He was in on this too, but there was never any grudge match between Savage
and
Arn.
I'll kill you, Ric Flair. All right. And we see it again.
Now we get to see Alex Wright, Das Wonder Kid, get tossed.
And here we go. Where's everybody? Everybody's hitting the ring.
Oh, we probably know some of these guys. Is that the gambler?
You got a problem with me? All right. You love your dad? Yeah. Nature Boy is mine? Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Dig it.
Then, wait. Here we go. Yes. You know, maybe these two video packages shouldn't have been back-to-back. I don't know.
Yeah. Wow.
All right. But, you know, but here we go. Savage and Flair.
We are ready.
The Father's Day. The Father's Day finale.
Yeah. Well set up. Did Angelo come out with him here?
Yes.
Yes,
he does.
Okay. That's good follow-up. I mean, that's story detail. That's the kind of things that they were so critical about with certain situations with WCW. So, I mean,
congratulations, Renegade.
We're going to try to get you over no matter what. Yeah.
Right here in WCW. Yes. All right. On this particular day, I'm wearing my Sunday hat.
At what point did he switch to the cowboy hat look? Was that like after? It was like 91 after the Warrior.
Kind of 91, yeah.
Yeah, because he went from being the Macho King, and then it was back to the Macho Man.
Yeah. Easier to cover the male pattern baldness, Cold to hold. I'm called the Ghostbuster. Oh, wait. Okay.
You forgot what an intense promo guy he was.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times he said stuff that didn't make sense, but he was kind of like
it
the precursor
didn't have to
the Warrior.
Didn't have to make
sense.
Yeah,
but he was so good at using big words, and the intensity was there. I mean, he was just – it's so easy to forget how great Randy Savage was.
Oh, yeah, Warrior was just nuts, and you're just like, oh, okay, you just rolled with it. Okay, yeah.
You know, you ever watch Warrior shoot interviews, though? He actually kind of comes across a little bit more genuine than he's portrayed.
That's,
pre-match promo with Nature Boy. How about that?
Well, this isn't about the Nature Boy. Plus, he's already done his promo on earlier, so. Yeah. But yeah, Savage gets the last word. Ding, 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 ding.
Ironic part is, Angelo Poffo was United States champion in the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, and these two, a lot of this angle happened around and during the United States Championship Tournament. It was a different version of that title, but it's still is worth noting. For your very obscure wrestling nerds like me.
Like everybody listening to the show.
Yeah. My Lord, look at the cauliflower ear on fire.
Oh, yeah.
God. Yeah. Blue Fez, eat your heart out.
Here we go. Oh, look, there's the Savage fans. Although I think they misspelled Savage. I don't know how they could do that.
There's a shock. The benefits of a college education.
Yeah, your mom goes to college, Jesus. All right. There we go.
Where's he at?
I don't know.
From behind?
Macho Manus was born in Ohio. Okay.
Okay. thought it was Downers Grove, Illinois.
Well, yeah.
But who the hell knows?
Yeah. There he is. There he is. Yeah. All right.
It's late to the party.
Okay. All right.
They didn't bring the expensive pyro. They weren't sure how the show was going to draw.
Nah.
It's like I think it was the first pay-per-view in a while without Hogan.
Yep.
Well, that's when they had Hogan come to the pre-show.
Right.
They were kind of wondering. And that light is just hitting us in just the way that we can't really see what's going on. But here comes Angelo.
There he is. There he is. It's Angelo Poffo. All right, Dad. Yeah.
Angelo Poffo, who used to drive around Lexington, Tennessee when he was a promoter for ICW. Mm-hmm. With nothing but like $100 bills laying in the back of his Mercedes. And somebody asked him, aren't you worried about the car getting stolen? He said, oh, man, they know who drives this. Yeah. Like that's some kind of answer.
Yeah.
Aren't you worried about your car getting stolen? Mm-hmm. Nah, they know who drives it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These couple years here, this Nature Boy hairdo wasn't my favorite.
No, this was not a particularly good plan, though.
Yeah. Of course, this was when they were trying to, a couple years after they wanted him to be Spartacus.
Yeah, but they were trying to emasculate him for a while. Oh, there we go. All right.
Well, yeah.
This. Randy Savage hands over his outfit to the ceremonial Hooters girl, and we're going to get in the ring.
Yeah, absolutely. Ceremonial. That's one word for it.
Yeah. Here we go.
We're all over it.
Yep.
They could have got Angelo a better chair, just for the record.
You'd think so.
Byron and in there already. These guys are at it already. Out of the booth.
All right.
Yeah, this is how a grudge match starts.
Right.
You know, this is the right pace.
Yep. Cool. Throw him around.
Yeah. Toss him around a little bit. A couple bumps. Backdrop.
Kids, that's called a backdrop, by the way. Just, you know, yeah. I know you haven't seen a lot of them in the past 20 years, but that's what they used to look like.
Yeah, it's a great comeback or fire up spot.
Yeah.
When if you know how to sell in your matches.
Yes.
After
Flair knows how to sell, folks. Right.
Absolutely, he does. One of the best.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You know, and you can say what you will about the pattern.
Hey, Rick, how you doing, buddy? Yeah. Hey, it's my boy, Ric Flair. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It's my buddy. I'm touching greatness. It's going to take a backdrop now.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, God.
You can just see by the way he turned.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
It's just, I don't know. This is something I picked up on years of wrestling and promoting and so forth myself. I can see things like little things like that.
Right.
Oh, wow. Wow, Randy.
Yeah.
Spray on the hair.
Uh-huh.
Good golly. Didn't realize how bad he was balding.
Yeah, well, that's a big cowboy hat, Shane.
Who's our referee? Pee-wee Henderson.
Yeah, right.
I wish today they made more notice or made more mention of the referee. They almost act like the referee's indifferent.
You remember that there was the drive to not mention, to never mention referees' names. Which is just stupid.
Do it,
yeah, they don't go out of their way to mention them now.
Yeah,
they don't
Here's
want
a man
you know,
who's in the thing.
Yeah.
He is supposed to represent the integrity of this organization, allegedly,
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't have a name.
Yeah,
come on, mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. Not that it matters, but every time I do a match on the independent rewind, independent matches. I always mention the referee. I think it's crucial.
And by the way, rest in peace, Mike DiMuzio. We miss you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I didn't have any problems with
him. No comment.
I didn't have any problems with him. I know you. You
didn't.
You did. I didn't.
Yeah.
No.
No comment.
Okay.
Fire it in.
Okay. All right, there
Fire
he is.
Him in.
Okay, Angelo's up on his feet.
Bringing it. Yep.
This is got everything you need. You got the two wrestlers in there. You got the dad at ringside.
Yeah, coming off the angle the previous month, yeah. Father's Day. Yeah.
You don't
big
need
knee drop.
Yeah, there you go. Woo. And you got the match that people came to see.
Okay. Next month in, on the beach in front of 100,000 people, Hulk and Vader in the cage.
Yep, that's right. And
just in case you don't know, you can never, just to prove it, you can never get enough of a good thing. These two will be in action next month at Bash.
Oh, spoiler alert, please, Shane. Come on.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, I know. It's 26 years ago.
Yeah, let us enjoy the finish. Well, you know, I mean, we do get these people in our podcast, in our viewing audience who are watching this stuff for the first time, believe it or not. Yeah.
That is true. Now,
they want to watch it with us.
Keep in mind, I did not divulge a finish.
No, you did not.
I just said they were coming back.
Oh, yeah, and people can figure that out. But, you know, and somebody even holding up a Be Fair to Flair sign, which I like.
Yeah, no doubt.
Be Fair to Flair.
The problem here is politically Flair. I mean, Flair had been kind of beaten like a drum and abused a little bit at this point in time over the previous year.
Yeah.
But with a guy like this, Flair's a better heel than he is a babyface. But the problem is that the people, even back then,
they didn't want to.
He was so beloved. But you needed to have guys on the heel side of the ledger who could work with the babyface guys, the Hogans, the Savages, and stuff.
Right.
And the most interesting matchups involved Flair and that combination, like Savage and Hogan and so forth.
Yeah,
you know,
they didn't protect Flair.
They didn't, and I think a lot of that just comes from the fact that even then, being able to cover, to take care of your heels, was not something that everyone was very, any promoter was very good at. Oh, Flair's going to get caught. Here's a shocker, huh?
Yeah.
A little ahead.
Well,
now
we've reached the point where they can't recover, you know, that they can't protect the baby faces or the heels or much of anybody.
I know it probably sounds kind of hokey and stupid to people. I mean, outside of the bubble, I mean, when you talk about this guy, these guys talking about finishes and protecting themselves and not wanting to do this and that, it seems ludicrous to today's fan and probably in a large part to today's wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now he's going after Ange.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
put your hands on Dad.
Oh, yeah, get off my dead, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, chop block.
Oh, no.
Cutting down.
Oh, no.
The three-legged table will not stand.
Right.
But we were trying to the formula that worked best with Hogan, and when Hogan's in the camp, the formula that worked, that he was most comfortable with, was going to be the superhero baby face. It was always going to end with most of the time it was going to end with a smile on your face. That's not conducive to keeping heat.
It's not. But I mean, the Hogan, you know, that setup works if you have a string of heels you can keep feeding them. And they
The problem here got to be is that it was Flair, and then Vader didn't want to do it, and then it started becoming, or actually already had been, you know, Hogan Buddy Club. You know, Beefcake getting a run he didn't really truly deserve, and then trying to get Avalanche back in there, and Kamala just a little bit. It's like all stuff that you had seen as part of the Hogan formula, but it wasn't clicking.
No.
You know, obviously we know what it took, but I mean, it was getting better at this point. The Hogan and Vader matches had interest.
Yeah.
It was just politically, it was very difficult. And Flair going back to the knee. This is just a really weird political time.
Yes,
you know,
it's
like Hogan won't put over Flair. So Savage kind of felt like he didn't have to put over Flair, but somebody needed to put over Flair because
You just reminded me of one of the big things going into here. Alex Marvez was writing a column for the Dayton Daily News. And the day of the show, he wrote his wrestling column predicting, you know, what was going to happen at this show. Now, since they had already taped stuff that was supposed to air after the Great American Bash, Alex Marvez's predictions were dead on accurate for most everything on the show. So the decision was made to change the finish for this match, the main event.
Huh.
And that caused a savage.
I remember this now.
Yeah, and he was not pleased. That ended up causing a chain reaction where a couple weeks later, Flair was out as head of the booking committee and Kevin Sullivan was in, and I'm not sure Flair was actually upset about that.
Yeah, why would he be?
Yeah.
What a thankless job that was. But on the flip side, look at it from the Savage perspective.
I know. I understand completely.
Yeah. I mean, again, for people who don't understand the context of what wrestling was and where it came from and how much it's changed, this is the revenge match from a month earlier where Flair beat up and hurt his dad's leg.
Yeah.
And his dad is at ringside and Randy now, you know, spoiler block.
Yeah, but, I know, but yeah, people are figuring this out. Don't worry.
So I mean, it's like Randy, a guy who by all accounts is paranoid by nature anyway,
right,
has to be thinking that they're screwing with him.
Yeah.
So that's going to affect his business dealings with them going forward. This is where wrestling, the political side of wrestling, gets.
Yeah.
We used to get a little hairy,
right?
You know, the politics of today are nothing. You basically work for one or two promoters and they have you by the nuts.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that then. This is not, these guys, the stars were still bigger than the alliance or the organization, the letters that they wrestled underneath of,
right,
at least in the eyes of the fans. It was more of a star-driven business back then.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter now because there's only but very few, but two or three really truly top guys who could even potentially be difference makers. But that's not the way it was in 1995. Mm-hmm. And that's hard in some cases for the younger generation to understand. Reversal of the figure four here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you hear stuff in 2021, you know, first of all, you have WWE where, you know, that's the political situation is you're not going to think about, you know, getting in Vince McMahon's face and complaining about how you're being booked. People don't do that.
Uh-uh.
Except for maybe Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar's just not going to put up with a lot of crap.
The big controversy in wrestling today is Jim Ross accidentally saying the initials of the group he worked for 20 years. On live television. You know?
Meanwhile, in AEW, from what I hear, the problem seems to be, you know, convincing the wrestlers who are on top and have stroke not to put over everybody and maybe to get a few wins for them, you know, and maybe to take a few wins for themselves.
If ever an organization needed a booker with a clue, AEW had
it. Yeah.
Good God. And they just, I mean, Dave Meltzer just slobbered all over Tony Khan up and over. He's going to get caught, I suspect. Sure enough, big clothesline. You know, Booker of the Year, come on. Please.
That's an entirely different topic.
Different topic. Big slam. I think the Macho Man's head.
He's up. He's bud busted. He's been lacerated from the looks of it, but he's going up.
Yeah, I thought I saw a little bit, but I don't remember what happened. It probably, you know.
Oh, yeah, went under the eye there.
There
it is.
Yeah,
that's the finish, right?
Oh.
Oh, he pulls him up.
He doesn't want to put him away.
No way. I'm not done with you. Yeah.
That's the that, my friend, is the political compromise for what's to come. I'm promising you that's what that was.
Oh, he's got the ring bell.
Oh, you know what he did? Oh, nope, can't mention it. Happened to on the other TV show.
All right. Well, everybody knows what he did to Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah, well, you know, they're not going to mention it.
Eight years ago.
I like a little bit of blood like this. It makes it more
real. Yeah, it does.
Not like these hardcore guys with the weed whacker to the nuts and stuff.
That's an entirely different. That's an entirely different company at this point. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's someplace you can go if you wanted that, right?
Yeah.
Oh no! Oh, and he moves.
Wow,
oh.
Going out to the. Oh yeah. Why? Yeah. Why? Well, he cut the cheek. That is a weird spot to get a cut. Wonder. I missed what happened. I'm usually pretty good at picking up on stuff like that, and I didn't. Well, I didn't pick that up.
But Ric Flair's going to take advantage, and Flair's taking advantage, going to open it up more.
This is, to me, this is completely convincing.
Yep.
It has the trademark stuff that both of these guys were known for that you want to see, but it also has the elements of the street fight with a little bit of the blood and some of the punches and the kicks and the outside brawling of a grudge match. You know, absolutely. This, to me, this holds up very well. Yeah.
This, but I mean, I've seen their, I mean, I've seen them do their pattern house show matches. I saw, you know, both their run in WWF when they did that, and and also in WCW. Oh, Angelo with the cane. Papa with the cane on Ric Flair.
There you go. I saw them in a dark match main event of a Nitro one night. Oh, good bump, Ange.
Yep. Oh, he hasn't forgotten.
Not too overdone, convincing. Right. I saw them do the 5-minute Nitro dark match main event with Bruno Sammartino as the ref in Washington. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one wasn't quite as good.
All right. Oh, Savage has the Flair has the cane.
Uh-oh. I think we know where we're
oh,
we're
batter ref, up, as Bobby
ref
Heenan
tried
said.
Trying to help Ange. Oh, look, I think he caught him a bit, too. That looks good.
That looks...
And usually, if it looks that good, it is that good.
Two, three. Oh, no. You hate to see it.
And Jimmy Suzuki at ringside shooting photos.
Hey. The Nature Boy.
Remember that? Woo! Yeah. We're going downtown.
Yeah. Hey.
And you know what? Not one Flair flop.
Nope. That's amazing.
He didn't rely on all that stuff yet.
Yeah. Didn't need.
They
had something
could still
here.
Go and not work under on the pattern, you know?
Randy Savage will not forget this. Oh, well. Yeah.
Take a slug of some Geritol and get up on your feet. That's funny. Heenan was the manager of Angelo Paco at one point in time. Probably one of his first produce.
And the manager of Flair also, so,
Yeah.
Oh, Heenan's begging for a replay. Yeah.
Where's the cut on his cheek?
I don't know.
Get a better shot of it. Maybe we're going to...
Happy Father's Day from Heenan. Tony is offended by Heenan's comments. Yes.
Obviously. I like Angelo's jacket.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we spent enough time talking about Angelo's jacket.
No, we haven't.
That was a good jacket. Here we go. We're going to see the replay. Uh-oh.
And
crack.
And
look at the way he just crumbled.
And Heenan does the Chris Berman back.
But it's the appropriate bump for the occasion.
Yes, it is.
Crumbled.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, and that kind of stuff gets missed, too, because everyone takes the big – sometimes it's not the big bump. Sometimes it's the right bump.
Exactly. There we go. All right, so that sets up a big rematch at the a big grudge match at the Bash of the Beach. Something like a lumberjack match with a bunch of women surrounding the ring.
Yeah, lifeguards.
That's right, lifeguard match.
They're all dressed up like surfers or something. Yeah. It was like the movie Point Break at a Hooters.
Yep. Hey, there's an idea.
Thanks.
I got to call my agent. I think I got something.
Oh, the presidents are surfers. Nobody rides for free, baby.
That's right. Yes. Yep. Okay. All right.
Absolutely.
That's a great pay-per-view. That you tell them, Tony. The most dangerous match of Hogan's life. Hogan and Vader in a cage.
Yeah. Do you remember, when the cage match was the match. That was the match.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was like, well, you
not before
cage,
you. Yeah, now you bring in the cage and you've already thought of a way to, you know.
You already figured out the bridge to the next thing.
Yeah, the F finish, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. There we go. All right.
Good job, Tony.
Happy Father's Day.
Tony was a heck of a broadcaster. Tony.
He was. Craig Leather is Rick Fancher. Rodney O'Rear is involved.
Who are these names? Neil Pruitt.
Forget it. All right. Yeah, they're already pulling me off there. Okay. Well, that was the Great American Bash of 1995.
Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
For over 10 years, Shane Hurricane Helms has been a pioneer in the podcast game. And now, the Creative Control Network proudly brings to you the record-breaking, history-making, longest-reigning, most entertaining cruiserweight champion of all time, Shane Hurricane Helms, and the Highway to Helms podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever your favorite podcast may be, you'll find me, Shane Hurricane Helms. And if you don't know, Google me, biatch!
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track, Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, MUSIQUE-EPIQUE.com.
So I guess this is the part where we talk about what happened next, and let's see here. What happened next? Well, let's go back and see what WCW, I believe, they took a day off. And then on Tuesday, they went to the Georgia Mountain Center to tape WCW Pro. Georgia Mountain Center in Gainesville, Georgia. Kind of place you don't see anymore, but you used to see it all the time. And
Yes.
Been there about...
The network get me to a Great American Bash 1996.
Oh, well, of course they are. Well, that which we've done. We did do that one. That's in the archives. Jim and I did that. All right, so at the WCW Pro taping, they taped 2 weeks of WCW Pro, where the fans got to see Kamala pin Chris Kanyon and,
Who better?
Yeah, the Nasty Boys defeated Bunkhouse Buck and Dick Slater by disqualification. And in the dark match, it was Sting defeating Ming by disqualification. So, yeah, not a whole lot going on, but yeah, WCW Pro taping. Meanwhile, the WWF were still on their European tour. And the European tour would continue the next day in Frankfurt, Germany. Let me pull this up on Monday, June 19th. And it was pretty much the exact same thing they did every night on the European tour. It was Bret Hart beating Hakushi and The Undertaker defeating Kama, the Ultimate Fighting Machine. And you would see the same card in Dublin and Birmingham and finally in London at Royal Albert Hall. Oh, yeah, and I'll give you the rundown because it's the same card every night. Those two matches plus Jean-Pierre Lafitte defeating Duke the Dumpster Drozzi, Men on a Mission beating the new Head Shrinkers, Elunder Blaze over Bertha Faye, Shawn Michaels beating IRS, the Smoking Guns defeat Jacob and Eli Blue, and, of course, Adam Bomb defeating King Kong Bundy. There you go.
I got to think that was probably one of the lowest grossing European tours they ever did.
It's not looking good.
That just does not sound like a good lineup of matches.
Meanwhile, they're running shows domestically with Diesel and Razor Ramon hurt, so... Yeah.
Oh, during the European tour, I bet you that, man, those things must have been loaded up with talent with all those other guys in Europe.
Let's see. Good Lord. Well, they ran Anaheim with Diesel out, so the show ended with Sid and Bam Bam Bigelow in a cage match. Which actually, I mean, Bam Bam's good.
I don't think that's terrible.
No, it's not hateful.
That's not terrible booking.
Yeah, let's see. Razor Ramon, let's see. Owen Hart and Yokozuna defend the tag titles against the Bushwhackers. Okay, that's not perhaps the best. Perhaps that's not the best. All right. Oh, and ECW, well, they have a week off, and then they're going to have the the most famous wrestling show in the history of Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, where Raven and Stevie Richards beat the Public Enemy to win the tag titles.
And I was there.
You were there?
I was there. I still have it somewhere, I think. I got a piece of the busted guitar from the main event.
Holy crap.
At least I had it for years. Yeah, I honestly did. It might be buried downstairs somewhere in a box or something, but yeah, I had it for years. I think it was Rocco hit Stevie or Raven with that guitar, and I ended up snagging a piece of it.
Good job. All right.
Yeah, how about that?
Hey, there we go. All right, and let's see. Smoky Mountain still circling the drain, unfortunately. They ended up, their next show was in Jenkins, Kentucky, which I've never heard of, but that doesn't mean anything. On Thursday night, the 22nd, in front of 450 people who got to see, Steve Armstrong beats Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion Buddy Landell by disqualification. Yes, Buddy Landell showed up. Yes, and in the main event.
Buddy.
I know, I miss him. In the main event, the Rock and Roll Express defeat the tag team champions Al Snow and Unabomb in a non-title match.
Just saw Ricky last Tuesday night at the Mineral County Fair in Fort Ashby, West Virginia.
Was he headlining?
Ricky never remembers anybody. He was great. Ricky's always great, but he never remembers anybody.
No, well,
I've worked with Ricky dozens of times, and he barely. Are you Shane? Yeah, buddy. It's just what just like that.
After the first 4,000 or 5,000 shows, they all kind of run together, don't they?
Yeah. But anybody who hands me money, I tend to remember them.
That's true. You know,
that's valid. I've handed Ricky enough envelopes so y'all don't know who I am.
Yeah, well, you showed up, you know.
Yeah, he did, and it's a good turnout. I mean, it's just kind of so far it's been like I expected. With the pandemic was over and people started coming back out. I mean, we've done two events since Memorial Day, but 400 plus people on hand.
Hey,
I mean,
there you go.
You know, and I mean, the Indies are doing good. You know,
and I don't even know. So, what were your main events for those?
Oh, the main event. I had Morton and the Patriot, and Morton against King Kalua, the Patriot against El Conquistador, and some underneath stuff, local guys, and a similar crew on August the 4th in Petersburg, except for the first time in south of Pennsylvania, and apparently, according to him, 20 years, Tony Atlas is going to be on the card.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, we had somebody else coming in, but that didn't quite work out. There were some misunderstandings there and no hard feelings, but I think, you know, we had something else going in a different direction. We misunderstood each other.
But you get
to a point. You know how it works in the business.
Hey, Tony Atlas at the Fairgrounds.
But we got Tony Atlas.
Hey, there you go.
Tony Atlas at the Fairgrounds. We're glad to have him. He ain't no second choice. Hall of Famer. And the guy still looks great.
Oh, yeah.
And he still works. I mean, he's still big as a house, muscular as you know, like he was
all
chiseled.
Get up. Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
You know, still has big personality, big laugh, big. You know, it'd be great. Come out and see him if you're in the area. Free with fair admission.
All right. Well, I don't want to cut you off, but since we got this one done, we got to pick a show to cover next time. And I'm going through the list of listener submissions, and I'm trying to find one that we haven't put up for vote before. And I think we got one. Let me see here. Here you go. One of the most legendary episodes in the history of WCW Nitro is our fan's choice. Shane, I know you might not remember the date, but once I tell you what was on it, you'll remember it. March the 3rd, 1997 in Atlanta, Georgia. March the 3rd, 1997. Now, maybe you won't remember, you know, this is before WCW Uncensored 97. Maybe you won't remember that it was Eddie Guerrero and the Ultimo Dragon. Maybe you won't remember the main event of the Steiner Brothers versus Lex Luger and the Giant. But I guarantee you'll remember the night that Roddy Piper was trying to pick his team for Uncensored and held open auditions. And
oh,
that segment just died
what
a death.
Disaster.
Yeah. The final WCW event held at the Omni, and that's what it's going to be remembered for, yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, it's funny. I'm just sitting here thinking. I mean, today's July the 1st. We're recording this, right?
July 4th. We're listening to it at home, yeah.
that Nitro, I thought you were about ready to mention July 1st, 1996 in Washington, which was referenced. I just referenced it accidentally about seeing Flair and Savage with Bruno as the ref. That was July 1st, 1996. And I remember that because we had an event right. The day before.
Yes, we did.
I wrestled in Martinsburg. So, yeah,
that's
it was,
right.
Yeah, so that's, Jesus. That's
oh,
crazy.
Geez, that was, oh, God, yeah, I remember that. That was, you did the Texas Death Match with Switchblade, I think.
Yeah,
that
something like
yeah.
that, yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, maybe it might have been NWL.
Oh,
but,
I don't
yeah,
know. 97, I don't know. Anyway, you had a big, yeah. Oh, 96, that would have been you, and, yeah. That would have been
yeah.
you over there. That's true. Fair enough. Okay. So, yeah, let's see. June 1st. Okay, let's look at July 1 of 96 here, which is, yeah. Well, yeah, is that the one you want to pick, or, you know, or do you want
yeah,
to?
Yeah, that's the one I'm picking. July 1, 1996, Nitro.
So two Nitros up for grabs.
Here
to,
yes.
Wow, well, let's see. Okay.
Greg Valentine wrestled that Savage that night, too.
I remember
that's
that match.
I mean,
I do remember that match,
yeah.
yeah.
It's like Savage hit the elbow and the hour two pyro went off.
Right, okay. Yes.
Something
technically,
like that, yeah.
yeah. Technically, okay. And of course, oh, and of course, the Giant defends the WCW World Heavyweight title against Big Bad John Tenta. That was also.
That
there.
Happened that night?
That happened that night, yes. And,
did it really?
Yeah, no. And yeah, that happened. Giant and John Tenta. Oh, well, that wasn't. None of that was the main event. The main event was. The Renegade, Joe Gomez, Ricky Morton, and Robert Gibson.
And the Rock and Roll Express against the Four Horsemen.
Against the Four Horsemen, against Flair, Arn, Benoit, and McMichael. Yeah.
Yeah, and after that match went off, Flair went out and did the 5-minute match with Savage with Bruno as the ref. Bruno
yeah.
got over better than all of them.
Well, yeah. Let's see. There you go. All right, so let's see. So, yep. Yeah. And Steiners and Harlem Heat. Well. Not bad at all. Okay, so we got that.
Hall and Nash walked down through. That was when that angle was starting to heat up.
That was
big
getting
time.
Yeah, that was warming up. Yep. Okay, so we got.
Yeah,
one
we were
nitro.
A week away from that big pay per view.
And a second
well,
nitro.
Well, we did that show.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Oh yeah. We did that show. Yeah. We did. We
yeah. You
yeah.
and I did that show.
You and I did Bash at the Beach. Yeah, that was. Well, we did part of it anyway. The good part.
Part of it. Yeah.
All right. So I need to pick one then. And I'm looking at all this stuff, and let me see here. I think I'm going to have to go in a different direction. I think I'm going to have to go to YouTube, since Peacock doesn't quite have everything yet. But I know this is on YouTube somewhere. AWA Super Clash 1, Super Clash 85, the Night of Champions, September 28th, 1985. The Comiskey
card.
Park,
oh,
Chicago.
My Lord.
We have not done that. Jim's going to be upset when he hears we have not done that. So.
This is that's a great card. I mean, yeah. there was a... Every major piece of talent almost in the business.
Okay.
Almost.
All right.
That
so,
wasn't yeah. working for McMahon was there. That's a hell of a card. Good pick.
Yes. Okay, so yeah, Martel's defending the AWA title against Stan Hansen. Ric Flair defends the NWA title against Magnum TA, probably the biggest high-profile match those two ever had together, which is not how it should have been. The world-class Texas title on the line, Kerry Von Erich defending against Jimmy Garvin. Okay, well.
Jimmy Garvin with Precious.
Now. Yeah, Road Warriors defending the AWA tag titles against Michael Hayes and Terry Gordy. Oh, geez.
Absolutely the highest profile match those two teams ever had against each other.
Well, that and WrestleRock, you know. Well, no, that's not the same thing. Yeah, they're just every – Mil Máscaras against Buddy Roberts. Geez, just some
– How about the Russians against
The Russians.
Dick the Bruiser, the Crusher, and yeah, and, Cole, the Kolovs and Khrushchev against Dick the Bruiser, the Crusher, and Baron
von
Raschke.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Bockwinkel, Stevens, and Zbyszko against Gagne, Henning, and Hall.
That's just, yeah. That's just a nuts. I mean, the show's just crazy. Yeah.
It is.
Jumbo
Tsuruta and Tenryu.
Yeah, Tenryu and Baba against Harley Race and the Long Riders.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my
it
gosh.
It was a great card.
Yeah, we got to do.
Good God.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm putting that down. Okay, so now that we've gotten to all that, let's see. I better get the randomizer ready to go here. The joy of the randomizer. You know, people love it, people hate it, but it's
imagine hard with 3 6-man tag team matches on with that level of stardom. Good Lord.
Yeah, they you know they didn't mess around, And of course, they argued about money the moment the show ended. So,
how about that? Who would have thought?
Yeah, I know.
People arguing about money in the wrestling business.
Yeah, that never happens. Let me see.
When there was money to argue over.
That night there was money to argue over.
And they made it sound like, and they had like 28,000 people in Comiskey Park, and they made it sound like it was a disaster or something. Like, what in the hell planet?
It wasn't a disaster. Just they couldn't, you know, somebody thought they were getting screwed on money. That's And there went Pro Wrestling USA pretty much, you know, down the toilet from that.
Have two promoters working together. It just doesn't work.
No, it really doesn't. All right, so here we go. We're gonna get we've got thousands, literally thousands of matches on the big wheel. Thousands of shows on the big wheel, pretty much everything that you're eligible to see on the WWE Network. And we're going to give the wheel a big spin, and let's see what we get here. All right, we go round and round we go. We got Raw, we got Primetime, Mid-Atlantic, ECW on TNN, Mid-South, and we stop at?
We got a whammy.
WCW pay-per-view. Which WCW pay-per-view is it? Okay, I swear to God I'm not rigging this. WCW Great American Bash 92. That'd be like the third Great American Bash in a row we've done. That's Sting Invader. And the NWA World Tag Team Title Tournament.
The World Tag Team Title Tournament, yeah. Like which is everybody. It's an awkward show,
but, you know, if you want to see it, I mean, plus I believe it's the WCW debut of Eric Bischoff, which is, you know, which is worth the price of admission in and of itself. So, yeah, Albany, Georgia, Great American Bash 92.
Sting Invader.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you've never seen that one. Sting Invader wrestled. Yeah. Sting Invader wrestled a lot, folks.
A lot.
Yes, and
some rugged matches too. I tell you, the match I thought was best between them was the strap match, the White Castle of Fear.
Yeah, I was there for that. That was great.
You know, that was a great match.
Oh yeah. Also, Koloff and Nikita Koloff and Ricky Steamboat against Brian Pillman and Jushin Liger. That's a tag match. Hashimoto and Hiroshi Hase against the Freebirds.
Against the Freebirds.
Because why not? Dustin Rhodes and Barry Windham against Steve Austin and Rick Rude.
That's a good matchup.
Yeah, good show.
That's the problem with tournaments. You end up with a lot of awkward matches. That's how
it is sometimes. So them's your choices, folks. And there's a good ones. So Shane, I know you're not on Twitter, but how can people watch your show and keep up with you and everything you're doing?
Well, you check out YouTube and check out the Independent Rewind, something I do with my friends Steven Sarks and Frosty Rob. And of course, you're on Facebook. Look up Shane Shadows with two S's on the end of Shadows. And it will take you to CPW Wrestling West Virginia, where you can keep up with all the happenings of CPW. Which basically this year is going to be contained to five live events at primarily at fairs and festivals, and you've already missed two of them.
Yep.
So, but stay tuned, and if you're in the area, you can certainly come and check out the action, and you know we'll make special accommodations for you if you tell us that you're buying tickets because you watched the or listened to the Wayback Playback.
There you go. You can visit me on Twitter. I'm at RealPatMcNeil. Jim Valley is at Jim Valley. The vote is going to be at Real Pat McNeil on Twitter. So vote early, vote often. And by the way, if you're a listener, go ahead and leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us over on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever the heck you get your podcast from. It's not that difficult. And if you'd like to know more about Sting, Haku, Colonel Rob Parker, Ric Flair, or Randy Savage, feel free to visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or The Wrestling Observer. Or you can go download your local library app because they're all in books. Shane, do you remember the line for this?
Join us next week. Same way back time, same way back channel.
Good enough. All right. Next week, I mean, hopefully Jim will be back. If not, we'll have another guest host with us. And the results and whatever you pick, whether it's AWA, WCW or WCW or I guess WCW. It doesn't matter. It's all going to be something good and something we'll all enjoy together. So until then, yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery, next week is another episode. Good night, everybody, and happy 4th of July.